Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Suji DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. Today is the 21st of January on 2021. So happy 21st day of the 21st year in the 21st century, everyone.
Wow.
This is episode 362 on Teams with us today. We have myself, Cynthia, Suji, Kendall, and our very special guest, Matt Henry, to talk about Azure VMware solution. Before we get to Matt, we have a couple of updates to share as usual. The first one that I had is around Azure IoT Edge for Linux on Windows being available for public preview. So what it comes with is that now you can run Azure IoT Edge on Linux on a Windows machine, and that IoT Edge module can talk to your Windows machine. And then there's also the admin center that can update both your Windows and Linux part on that whole machine. So it is pretty cool. And I know there's another one. Suji, do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'll talk about that one. And this is now with regards to healthcare. These days, we're seeing a lot of solutions move to the cloud in healthcare. And obviously, healthcare security is paramount. Customer, you know, patient information, confidentiality, et cetera. So a lot of customers want to know when they bring their applications to the cloud, you know, what is their responsibility and what is the cloud provider's responsibility when it comes to security? You know, where do we draw the lines? What does the customer have to do? What is the cloud? Because, you know, you can't just say, you know, oh, you know, it's all on Azure and, you know, as long as you put it on Azure, it's going to be secure. There is a shared responsibility involved there. And so there's this nice document that they create. It's a matrix that's been created by Pradeep Nair, who's the general manager of that healthcare team. And he's going to, he describes, you know, how, like, what are the pieces that that Microsoft would cover in a typical solution, and what are the pieces that the customer should be aware of, and what, you know, care they should take when deploying these applications, healthcare applications to Azure. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes, Cynthia.
Thanks, Kendall, I know you put in one.
Yeah, sorry, I wasn't sure if I'd be able to make it, but I was able to. So just wanted to call out something pretty great, AKS related, shocker. There's now automatic cluster upgrades in public preview. So essentially, you know, the cluster upgrade process is fairly tedious right now, and we have multiple strategies for how we actually recommend customers go through that process. But essentially, you can have a user-defined version that you're clusters upgrading to on a certain basis, right? Whether that's you know, the latest rapid miner version, an old stable version, the latest patch version. So it really helps prevent the customer from having to go through that manual process. So I think that's definitely a big win for customers who are looking for a more managed experience.
Awesome. Thank you. And now over to you, Matt. Can you tell us what you do at Microsoft?
Oh, man. Right now, what I'm doing at Microsoft, because I've been a CSA, I've been a GBB, and Kendall, good to see you again. I have come from AWS over to Microsoft. So I've been doing this cloud thing for a little while, but right now I am having a lot of fun in the CSU in Corp. I own technical strategy for SAP and what we're going to talk about today, which is AVS.
Cool. So for our listeners, CSAs are our cloud solution architects, GBB are our global black belt, CSU is our customer success unit, because we love our three-letter acronyms.
Oh, yeah.
And AVS is what?
There's the question. It's the Azure VMware solution. And yeah, we're going to get a lot of strange looks and like, wait, VMware, why are we talking about that? And actually, for the breadth of the audience, I think I like to do a little bit of translation for these terms always, because we live in a multi-cloud era, if you will. AWS, you'd be talking about VMC, which is the VMware cloud on AWS. And in Google, you'd be talking about the cloud VMware engine. They're all similar services, and they all have kind of their own advantages and disadvantages. But today, I'm obviously going to be talking about AVS on Azure. It is a service that I think is going to be a pretty big deal in the next year. It is bare metal. I think that's something that's a little bit different for a lot of folks who are using cloud. These are not virtual machines. You would essentially be using a single tenant hardware. You have minimums you have to run in a cluster, but the idea is that you're running VMware, which is maybe a little different for pure Microsoft folks or pure Azure folks, but there's tons of VMware folks out there. It is still incredibly relevant technology, incredibly relevant. And you're basically running it on bare metal hardware that is within, if you will, Azure. It can interface with all of our other services and offerings. So you get the best of both worlds. It's the epitome of meet the customer where they are. Cynthia, you had a question?
I do. So when we're talking about running on bare metal, is that still a managed service, or what does the management experience look like?
That's a great question. And the idea here is that it is bare metal, but the customer doesn't have to do anything to maintain it. It's within an enclave. No customer is going to be running patches or replacing DIMMs or anything like that. You're going to be operating through an interface, through eventually seamless Azure portal experiences. But the idea is that you're going to get the performance, that bare metal speed, if you will, responsiveness for your VMware environment within the Azure ecosystem, using many of the same APIs and interfaces to other services. And wow, we've got lots of questions. Let's just keep them coming.
When I see VMware, obviously that's one of the earliest forms of virtualization that has been around. And, you know, as you said, Azure also was built on the same promise, right? Being able to provide virtualization of software and platforms. So what's the use case to, you know, for someone who's in VMware to say, you know, let's just go, you know, just what Azure has versus, oh, I'm going to stick with VMware because of XYZ. Like, what's the use case for somebody to stay with VMware? You know, assuming that they have been on VMware for a while, why not just go into, you know, use the native Azure virtualization engine?
Sure. And this is a big question. I actually think I've sort of gotten myself to the point where it's not a question I even ask so much anymore. It's the great thing here is that customers don't necessarily have to ask themselves this question any longer, because they have the choice. If they want to maintain that same pane of glass, as I call it, they can. If they are familiar with VMware, they want to use VMware, but they want to exist in this Azure area, they can do that. If they want to expand slowly into Azure, if they want to modernize applications through things like Kubernetes, and I'm sure Kendall would love to talk about that, that's a complete option, and the customer can do it at their own pace. But reasons that some people are very interested in using this service, imagine that you have money in a local data center, and your lease is coming up, and all of a sudden it's like, well, on our schedule, we want to modernize some apps, but we don't want to modernize all of it right now. We don't want to make a whole lot of changes. Let's move everything more or less as it is. Let's take advantage of the skill sets that our employees already have, and let's go into Azure, check the box, right? The executives get to check the box that we're running in Azure, but we're running through the same pane of glass. Kendall, you had a question?
Good answer.
Yeah, so it's actually funny. So I was talking to Jeannie Brooks, who, Matt, I'm assuming you work with. Like, she's
very
amazing.
Closely.
So, yeah, for context, big shout out to her. She's a GBB as well, so she's a specialist. And so she actually was talking to me because she's on the AVS team, and I didn't know what AVS actually stood for, ironically, when she said it the first time. And so we were talking about it, and it's actually really interesting. Like, I didn't think about it from the IaaS versus, you know, VMware solution perspective. And sometimes for customers, like, there's still going to be a level of retrofitting to go to IaaS, you know, that's still going to be some level of transformation. And then she also was talking just about how there can be potential cost implications in that decision as well. And so I don't know, it was just, it was cool because it gave me a little bit more context on some of this. But she also mentioned, Matt, like you did, the opportunity for modernization, you know, once you're in that solution, right? So how do we get into Azure most cost effectively? And then how do we then look at, okay, next steps in terms of modernization? Is that something you would typically see with customers? You know, that being their path of progression? Just kind of curious on your experience there.
I love this question. And I want to give a shout out to Jeannie Brooks as well. So when I was in the GBB, we were wing partners. She was the specialist and I was the technical specialist. So we worked together very closely and had a great time with it. Very early days of AVS. But I would say this, there is another option. If you look at it as a spectrum between, let's say, just going bare virtualization all the way to the most modernized app framework you could possibly use right now, everybody sort of puts IaaS in the middle there, right? Customers with this new offering with AVS, and it's not exactly new, but it's new-ish to a lot of people. They don't even have to go through IaaS, frankly. In fact, I think there's probably more value in customers staying where they're comfortable in VMware, operating there and getting the max investment out of their people, raising their skill set bar, learning more about Azure. And then when they're ready, they can plan an app modernization and just go past IaaS altogether when they're ready in a year or two or three and go straight into those services. They don't have to do that either, though. If they want to stay in VMware and they want to modernize there, they can do that as well. And they're still within the Azure ecosystem. Great question.
I know you were talking about where and how customers should think about it. I know there's been a big conversation around enterprise scale landing zones and all the time. Can you tell us what that is? And then when we talk about AVS, is there something special for AVS that's coming?
This is, boy, we could do a whole show on this. And maybe we should later when we're a little bit further down the path. Hint, hint. But I want to talk really quickly about what enterprise scale landing zones are. And let's just talk about landing zones in general. The idea is that for a lot of customers, cloud is a difficult journey, right? VMware helps in that journey significantly in many cases because, like we said, it's the same pane of glass. But a landing zone, the idea is that we've got all these people with all these bumps and bruises and scars. They have gone down these paths with customers for the first time, and they've got the scars to prove it. Those are best practices. That's worth a great deal to Microsoft. That's why we want to retain employees and we want to share the knowledge because it's great for our customers. So landing zone is all about, can we decrease the amount of time it takes for a customer to get to their first landscape? If they're deploying an environment for AVS, for SAP, for AKS, for WVD, for any of these services, can we decrease the amount of time it takes to go through that painful period of, we didn't bring so-and-so to the meeting, we can't make a decision about this. We don't need to necessarily. We've got these best practices wrapped in. And conceptually, here's what I like to tell people. We've got the Azure generic, if you will, landing zone. And I like to tell people that is 50% of the solution. Okay. So the idea is that this is going to give you guidance on things like, oh, we need policies, or we need to get our hands around this spend, this governance. We need to understand our networking security. All of those things are included in the Azure Enterprise Scale Landing Zone. So if a customer gets wrapped around what that is, they're already off to that 50% start, I would say, out of the box. These construction sets are specialized landing zones. So I'm building the SAP one right now, and that's about to finish up. We're in beta. If anybody, you know, is interested in that, that's SAP. But we're about to start the AVS landing zone as well. So if you got that 50% box, the construction set for AVS is going to give you another 25, 30% on top of that out of the box, specialized to AVS. So it's about getting, I say, 80% of the customers, 80% of the way there out of the box with the guidance that we provide and the templates, the automation. that last 20% is why all of us have jobs, right? Every customer is going to have specialized needs. They're going to need a CSA. They're going to need a partner in the room with them to help them for their very specific business needs. But the idea is we want to shrink that timeline and make it easy for customers to feel good about, here's my harbor. It's done. Now I can bring my boats into it. And that's the analogy we use for landing zones all the time. It's the harbor, not the boat. And typically, technical people like to start with the boat. This is about building the harbor first. So, yeah, question. Let's do this. Got tons of questions.
Yeah. So, I guess I'm old enough to know how Microsoft and VMware used to go head to head on a number of engagements, and they've not always had a very friendly history. So I was wondering, how did this collaboration come about, and B, how do customers take it?
I love this question. I love it. I think this is all about Satya Nadella, frankly. I think when he was talking about we want to partner with everybody, that was kind of like, whoa, that's a weird concept. That's very different from all of the corporate wars, if you will, that have gone on over the last couple of decades. But then Azure started making it happen, and it made sense. And I think people figured out we don't have to butt heads. We can make money doing this. We can advance our cause. You can advance your cause, and everybody's going to be happier at the end of the day. There's not going to be an Azure customer that has a VMware environment that's going to be upset that we have AVS now in addition to everything else in Azure. I'd like to expand on this one a little bit. Talk about maybe what the technical person would get out of this versus what the seller would get out of this, what they would care about, because this partnership is huge right now. Let's start with the specialist. I call this a Tetris, right? You see the block come down and you see the cool animations and you got four rows at once. It's amazing. But the idea is, for a specialist, that's what you want. You want to make all the pieces align, and you want to get big pieces to your puzzle because they open up lots of other opportunities. I want the specialists and the sellers to think about this. You work for Microsoft, certainly. You have great relationships with large enterprise customers, and you know lots of people at the customer, but guess what? VMware is now partnering with us, and they have an incredible network within all of those companies as well. So for sellers, you're expanding your footprint dramatically with customers. The partnership, the doors that will open, the alignment with VMware sales, this creates a lot of diversity in your opportunities. And for the CSA, I would say that you have an opportunity, for one thing, to grow technically. And that's always, I think, a desirable outcome for a CSA. They want to learn things. They're curious. We're past this point of VMware is our mortal enemy. It's not like that anymore. We're working together here very closely, as a matter of fact, with AVS. And the CSAs get to learn about a whole new ecosystem. And Kendall, I'm sure you've probably seen a lot of this, because VMware is doing a lot of things with Kubernetes lately. They're really getting in on that game. And guess what? They're going to be able to take advantage of all those new technologies on AVS and sit right next door to Azure proper and bring it all together through whatever pane of glass they're comfortable with. So the CSA gets to learn. And I think that what I'm going to challenge CSAs with, since we're early in this, and GBBs, Kendall, you're not off the hook, is let's look for better together opportunities. We're going to be building these architectures, reference architectures, landing zones, all of this. Let's look for opportunities to bring Arc into this, maybe Sentinel. There's lots of services that can combine all of these new tools, and that gets us that Tetris again for the technical people as well. So it's a base platform multiplier. Let's go make the most of it. That's scale.
Mm-hmm. No, it's so true, because we actually have an internal, so my team has a call set up where next week we're going to have someone talk through Tanzu, which is that offering from VMware, yep, that, with Kubernetes. And so, like, woo-hoo, I don't know about this phase, but yeah, I see a lot of that happening and getting more questions about that technology. But also, one thing that I that I think is really cool, which I frankly didn't really know, is that VMware, the VMware solution, does have a lot of native integrations with things like API management and like Azure Security Center. These aren't really things that I knew. Like, is that a really compelling reason why we see some customers choosing our solution over maybe competitive offerings as some of the other integrations with Azure services? And maybe what are some of the highlights, I guess, on that from your perspective?
From my perspective, and this is an honest answer, it's early. We're still figuring a lot of this stuff out. I mean, I could go on and on, but that really is the answer. It's very early. We're trying to figure these better together situations out. But I think the easy answer is there are services that customers are going to want to be close to, even in their VMware environment. Like Azure Active Directory is one of the ones that just jumps right out. Some of our storage services can simplify network attached storage, all that kind of stuff. Those are just the easy ones. But we're going to find these much deeper integrations between technologies. You've already mentioned one of them, and Kubernetes is just, talk about an open playing field. There is so much there yet to be discovered. So my answer is we're still figuring it out.
You know, Matt, every time I hear bare metal, I also see a lot of dollar signs, right? Sounds like there may be like a significant monetary commitment in these kind of solutions. How does the pricing work here?
It's hourly. It has changed recently. It used to be the case that you had to commit a month at a time, but now we're moving to an hourly model, so it's much more flexible for customers.
That's really good to hear.
Matt, with the same way, like kind of an IaaS model, you can do like reserves, right? That's a thing where you could buy like a certain amount over time. Is that possible? Like the same way that you can do like 3-year reserves of like VM, you know, compute IaaS, that kind of thing?
So this is one, we've had some changes recently and I would want to double check this, okay. But I do believe that is a possibility. And the person you'd want to ask if you want to take advantage of that is the specialist, of course.
Okay.
But, and that is a the 1 to 3 year ROI is a no brainer when you see how much it can reduce the cost over time.
I do have one. I know we're running out of time here, but I wanted to ask, like, so what are some of the scenarios where someone should say, hey, you know, this is not a good idea, right? You don't want to be putting it on Azure. Is there any such scenario, or just pretty much no matter what you got, you can throw it into AWS?
I would say the one that jumps right out at me is, you know, if you have a really small, you know, VMware environment, that's probably not going to be something you're going to want to move. This is a good question because it opens up what is the bare minimums, the league minimums, if you will. You're going to need to run in a cluster. So you're going to need to get 3 nodes. And the reason we do that is because this is the cloud and we don't do one of anything, right? These are production environments. You need to have high availability and maybe disaster recovery. You're going to have to get a minimum of 3 nodes. That may change. I'm not going to speak for engineering on this one, but that could potentially change in the future depending on our demand. Maybe customers want to do some smaller environments, app dev, spin up some test environments, and then, you know, just blow it away. But I would say small environments jump out at me. But for larger environments, there's really no good reason, I would say, to not come over, frankly. Sorry, no, you should come over.
That's a good answer, Matt. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Yeah, so I think this is really great. You know, you've really shared a lot about AVS, opened our eyes to AVS. So, if there's any kind of links or resources you think you wish to share with our listeners, mm-hmm. please send them over to us and we'll put them along with the recording, guys, any more questions before we close out here? All right. Sounds like a wrap here. Thank you very much, Matt.
You bet. Thanks for having me. Great time.
Same here.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.